Welcome to Whiskey Cask, the cask strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 68 for November 25th, 2006. Coming up in a few minutes.
Now I can taste, my God, I can taste the bright.
I've ruined your impressions of this forever, haven't I?
Never drank this whiskey again. No, I'm kidding.
Of course, it's a wonderful whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
That's Lincoln Henderson. And if you want to know exactly what I did to his sense of taste, keep listening. He'll lead us through a tasting of Suntory's Japanese single malts. First, though, let's look at the news. The dispute between the European Union and India over whiskey tariffs is getting a bit uglier. The EU is now filing a formal complaint with the World Trade Organization over India's high tariffs on imported scotch. Those tariffs can run as high as 500% or more of the cost of a bottle of whiskey when national and local taxes are figured in. The complaint's filing triggers a 60-day mediation period, and if the Indian government doesn't lower the tariffs after that, then the WTO's dispute resolution panel will step in. Boonehaven is celebrating its 125th anniversary this year, and there's a special single malt released to mark the occasion. I talked with Alison Winship of Burn Stewart Distillers about the anniversary bottling.
It's one of the most expensive Boonehavens ever, and it's the most expensive pack that we've actually released as a company. So for Burn Stewart Distillers, its whole life cycle is quite significant. It's a 1971 vintage. It's basically a 35-year-old, and it was selected from four casks that our master distiller chose, and they're all Oloroso finish. And in the UK, I'm not sure what the retail price is, sorry, in the US, but in the UK, it'll retail at £395. And it comes, the packaging is quite interesting as well, because what we've done is we've put it in a black matte finish box. Every single one of the boxes or the bottles are hand numbered in gold ink. And there are only 750 that have been released.
Burn Stewart is also releasing a 30-year-old Deanston single malt exclusively in the U.S. Benriach is releasing four new whiskies in what it's calling the Wood Finish Series 1 for the distillery. All four single malts are 15 years old. One has a Pedro Ximenez sherry finish, one a Madeira finish, another an aged tawny port finish, and finally a dark rum finish. There are only between 1,500 and 3,000 bottles of each one, and Benriach plans to produce a second series with different cask finishes once those are all gone. A few weeks ago, I mentioned a rum cask finish Macallan 15-year-old malt that Hart Brothers produced exclusively for Park Avenue Liquors in New York. I had the chance to talk with Alistair Hart during Whiskey Fest New York about that malt and finishes in general.
It's a major factor in the maturation of any spirit. After 15 years, for example, this one here, which is Macallan, 15 years old, was aged in a rum puncheon. In other words, previously it held rum for maybe 1, 2, 3 years. I don't know too much about rum. But rum has a specific influence on how this matured. Now, normally what Macallan would do, that they would reject that because they only use specific sherry butts. So when this was filled, it probably got through the net. And 15 years later, when it came to blend it, they said, we can't use that. We'll have to, it'll upset the whole balance of our product. So they disposed of it. But what's happening now is that we have got the aficionados of malt whiskey saying, hey, I want to try something a bit different. I want to try something that's matured in bourbon wood, for example. I want to try something that's in a port pipe. I want to try, we have Springbank, 12 years old, which is matured in a port pipe. So it has a little distinctive colour coming through, and it has a sweetness about it, that just a floral sweetness, which is absolutely amazing. And this also has got this rum influence coming through as well. So that's fantastic. This one over here, 40 years old Carsbridge grain. Carsbridge grain predominantly is used for blending purposes. I can't be specific, but let's say the percentage of grain to malt to make a blend is 60-40, say, or 75-25. Then what you're going to get is, of all the blend that's used, 75% is this. 5 years old to 12 years old. Over 12 years old, forget it. There's no percentages. How that escaped detection for 40 years is unbelievable. This is brand new American white oak, so it has an influence which is totally different from that there. Do you want to try it? Okay, here we go. You're going to get, it's a one-dimensional, it's not malt whiskey, it's grain whiskey. And it's one-dimensional. Don't look for anything which is not there. What you're going to get here is you're going to get vanilla. Yeah? Am I right?
Get a lot of vanilla out of that.
There you go now, you see? Now, do I know my whiskeys or do I know my whiskeys?
What do you got new coming out these days besides this Macallan for...
What's new coming out has just arrived. We have Lafroy 11 has just arrived. We have the 15 years old, which has just arrived, Macallan, which is exclusive to Park Avenue. We have the 40 years old Carl's Bridge, which is exclusive to Binnie's. Only available through Binnie's. This retails at less than $100 a bottle. My God, for 40-year-old whiskey, for less than $100.
That's amazing. So, that's amazing whiskey.
Yeah, there you go. It's, I mean, what we're doing here is what we're showing people who like malt whiskey, people who are trying to understand the nuances of malt whiskey, what makes the difference, is really very simple. Remember two things, as I said, the wood takes the character from the wood. What was it? Secondly, there's nothing added and nothing subtracted. In other words, no colour in, no chill filter out. So you're getting the real McCoy here.
Of course, there's a link to the Hart Brothers website at whiskeycast.com. If you're making travel plans for the spring, there are two events you might want to consider adding to your itinerary. The first one is at historic Mount Vernon in Virginia on April 1st, when the restored distillery built by George Washington will be opened to the public. The restoration has been going on for several years and is being supported by the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S. More on that in the next episode of Whiskey Cast. And if your plans include Scotland, the first Highland Whiskey Festival will be held on June 2nd and 3rd. Participating distilleries include Glenmorangie, Balblair, the Dalmore, and Glenord. More details are still being worked out, and I'll have updates as they become available. We're officially in the holiday season now, and next Saturday will be the first weekend of holiday celebrations at Maker's Mark Distillery in Loretto, Kentucky. Here's Maker's Mark Master Distiller, Dave Pickerel.
The holidays are a grand time at Maker's Mark. We light the place up. Every single window gets a wreath in it. We put out thousands and thousands of Christmas lights. And we'll even at the first two Saturdays in December, we actually have candlelight tours in the evenings. Very, very popular events for folks to come to really see Maker's in all its splendor.
If you need directions to Maker's Mark, there's a link to the distillery's website at whiskeycast.com. Of course, this coming Thursday is St. Andrew's Day, and the Oran Moore Bar in Glasgow will have a Scottish cocktail night to celebrate. Oran Moore will also host a Glengarry tasting with Morrison Beaumore master blender Ian McCallum on December 6th. Beaumore's Jamie McKenzie will lead a tasting at the Ramada Hotel in Nuremberg, Germany on December 5th. And that same night, the McAllen's Casper McRae will host a Scotch tasting and dinner at the Palm Restaurant in New York City. The Dundee Dell in Omaha, Nebraska will hold Scotch tastings on December 4th and 8th. And finally, if you hurry, you might still be able to get a ticket for the first Whiskey Festival of 2007, the Victoria Whiskey Festival in Victoria, British Columbia. Last May, I talked about Japanese whiskeys with Lincoln Henderson in episode 40. You may recall that Lincoln was one of Kentucky's leading bourbon distillers until he retired from Brown-Forman a couple of years ago. Since then, he's been doing consulting work for Suntory, and a couple of weeks ago, he spent the evening at the Brandy Library in New York City. I sat down with him for a tasting session.
Tell me about the 12 and the 18, and then what we're going to try here.
Okay, Mark, we want to do the 12-year-old because this would be like the entry into the Yamazaki experience, the 12-year-old. But when you think of in the single malt category, 12 year is not, you know, a big deal if you think about age. But this 12-year-old whiskey involves three different types of oak from America, from Japan, and from Spain. Three different types of barrels. Hogsheads, butts, the 480-liter butts, and American bourbon barrel. So you have a very complicated whiskey to start with as far as the barrels are concerned, but also the distillation is different. You have four different types of stills. So, I mean, you think of a 12-year-old as just being a very simple whiskey. But this whiskey is very complicated. But at the same time, it's very subtle, very mild. And I would like for you to taste it. And we'll just pour up a little bit here. This is a whiskey that was developed by Suntory. They started distilling whiskey in 1923. And the whiskey was to meet the taste of the Japanese consumer, which is usually understated. They prefer, you know, very light foods, very subtle foods, and this whiskey had to fit with that. It did. It was not. It was. You couldn't use a really peated malt to make this whiskey. It had to be very subtle, very light. And this is what they came up with at the 12-year-old.
Now, I'm getting a lot of, in nosing it, I'm getting a lot of floral notes.
Exactly
a little
right.
bit of heather, maybe?
I don't remember her name, but I think heather probably would. But that's right.
Very funny.
More of the, like the herbal notes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very clear, very golden.
Yeah, and the golden color is the result of the barrels that were used. There's no caramel added to this whiskey, but that's, you know, that's not important. I mean,
it's very light, very clean,
very clean, and the aftertaste is very mild,
okay.
Slightly sweet, a little bit of dryness.
Now let's taste it. Very smooth. I get a little. I think I'm getting a little bit of honey in this.
Yes, honey, definitely. Yeah, honey.
And still the floral notes. Very
right.
light, very clean.
You get a little bit of in the 12-year-old. You get a little bit of a malt character, the
right.
original malt character, because at 12 years, that's not going to disappear all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really nice addition to the overall complexity of the whiskey.
Now, I think. Tell me if I'm wrong here. I think I'm actually getting a little bit of a mint note in there, too. I'm sensing a little bit of mint.
You probably are. But, you know, different people are going to pick up different notes right away. And now, if I probably sit down and taste this and in a quiet evening and I start, you know, sniffing it, the mint note will probably come through. Yeah.
And just a tiny bit of oak.
Oak, a very slight,
vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla, yeah.
The usual stuff you'd find in a single malt scotch, the oak and the vanilla,
yeah.
but nothing, a lot lighter.
Nothing is overpowering. Nothing really stands out really strong. And I think that's really the joy of this whiskey. This is your whiskey you want to drink. You know, you can drink this as a cocktail, you know, on the rocks, straight or with a little bit of water, but it's something that... You know, when you're not really going to think about the whiskey that much, this is what you want to drink.
Now, in the finish, I'm getting a little bit of a smoke in the finish, but not a lot, but just a nice lingering finish.
A hint. A hint of the finish. It comes, the finish comes and then it goes. Yeah. It's not going to stay around for a long time.
It doesn't stick around like an Isla where it just sort of stays in the back of your throat for a few days. But
whiskeys will stay out 3 or 4 days, maybe a month. And, But that's okay.
Okay, now let's switch over to the 18.
Okay.
Tell me about the 18.
Okay, the 18-year-old is very unique. Now, it doesn't have all these barrels that we use for the 12-year-old. The 18-year-old, you can notice the color is more copper. It's gold. It's more intense. The reason the color is more intense is because this is coming from about 80% of the barrels are Japanese oak that were produced to sherry butts. Sent to Spain, used for sherry, and they came back to Yamazaki. Those barrels were owned by Suntory. They were loaned to the sherry people. So what Suntory wanted to do is get those barrels conditioned with sherry, and they knew exactly where they went, what happened to them, and then they came back for their whiskey. And then the other 20% were ex-bourbon barrels. So you're going to get a little more of the caramel note, the vanilla, but you're also going to get that nice reddish amber color from the sherry barrel.
Now, looking at it, I get the caramel coloring, or at least the natural caramel coloring from the barrels, It's a little darker, almost reminds me sort of the color of maybe 30-weight motor oil.
That's right.
In some ways. And well, I get...
I wouldn't describe it exactly that way, but that's okay. I'm kidding. But it's richer color.
Yeah.
It gets away from the 12-year-old is more just a little gold, but it doesn't have the reddish note to it. But when you use these sherry barrels, these sherry butts, you're going to pick up more red, and you're also going to pick up a little sherry.
And I pick up the sherry in the nose.
Yeah, a lot of maple, a lot of the maple note. So many things. A lot of dried fruit. You know, the apricot, a lot of the dried, whatever dried fruit you want.
I'm getting figs in this.
Figs.
A little bit of figs, a little bit of raisins, some apricot. I'm picking up the sherry very easily in this.
It's like it's almost like being in a chef putting things together to get all these different flavors together. It's kind of neat. And you do this, you know, starting 18 years ago, you say, well, this is what I hope it turns out to be. But 18 years later, you know, you're not really sure it's going to happen. But Yamazaki are pretty well got this down to a science. Yeah.
And I'm getting in this a little bit more of the wood. Yeah. I'm getting more wood in this.
You should.
And because it's only because it's been in the wood longer.
Extra 6 years in the wood. Yeah. But it's not real, you know, you would normally think that 6 years in a barrel, six more years, it's going to have a lot more stringency. But you don't get that with this. Yeah.
No, it's richer. It doesn't have the astringency. It doesn't dry your mouth out. I'm getting a good mouth feel.
I think because you have the effect of those Japanese barrels that had sherry, and then it gives you the substance and gives you the background for the whiskey, and it really overrides the really strong astringency.
Now, I'm almost getting just a touch of brininess in this, but not a lot. Is there a difference in the climate on this?
It's not like if you were making this whiskey in Scotland near the ocean, but the fact is that you will actually get, if you think about it a little bit and you taste it enough times, you may get a little saltiness. And that's natural in whiskey that's been matured for 18 years. You know,
it's not unpleasant.
Oh, no. It's a very nice complement to all the other. Because, you know, you can have too much sweetness. You can have too much of vanilla and all these things, too much maple. But you need something to sort of balance that out.
The finish lasts a little longer in this one, too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's going to be there for a couple of minutes, yeah. I think maybe I'll try it, too, since we've talked about it here. And it really sounds kind of nice. But I love that color. Look at that. That's such a rich, dark amber, crystal clear. Now, you know, there's one thing also with this 18-year-old. If you add a little bit of water to it in a snifter glass, a little bit of water, and let it set for a little bit, you will pick up some peat. You don't do it at full strength, but you will actually. But the peat is, it's really sort of never after that. It just goes. It's not like an Islay whiskey where you taste the peat forever and ever.
But now, where is this peat coming from?
Peated malt, but only a touch of peated malt. See, I can actually taste it right now. But it's not. It doesn't stay forever. I mean, it goes very quickly.
Maybe that's the combination of the brininess I'm getting in there. It's just sort of reminds me of an Islay a little bit.
When you said brininess, see, now I tasted that. I really did. And I never thought about that, but I've learned to respect the taste buds of people outside of my profession because they're not involved in all these, you know, with the chemical things and stuff and technical things. They're not clouded with that. Now I can taste, my God, I can taste the bright.
I've ruined your impressions of this forever, haven't I?
Never drink this whiskey again. No, I'm kidding.
Of course, it's a wonderful whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. This has been so much fun. Now, to be honest with you, I have to add a little bit of water.
Yeah.
Because I like to see what happens after that.
Okay, I'm out of the 18, so.
Well, let's
pour a little bit and then try it with some water.
Take that. What happens at full strength is that you're really kind of jaded by all the wood notes coming out in the beginning.
Right.
So when you add the water, you actually release a lot of the really subtle fruit notes that are in the background.
I have to admit, with a lot of my whiskeys last year or so, I've been trying them neat just to see how they look like full strength and what they taste like. But then over the last few weeks, I've been adding more water to them and finding the flavors I didn't catch before.
Now, when we do the International Wine and Spirits Competition and tastings for the whiskeys, we start out, we will look at the color, appearance, in the beginning at full strength. We will sniff it at full strength, but we don't taste it at full strength. Then we will add a measured amount of water, and that releases all the other flavors from the whiskey. But we never taste them at full strength, because it just, when you're doing a serious tasting. Now, when you're drinking it, that's okay. But when you want to sit down and evaluate like six different whiskeys, if you do not reduce the alcohol level, it's going to, maybe the first three you can do something seriously with, but after that, it's sort of guesswork.
Now, with the water in this, I'm picking up more floral notes than I got before with full strength.
Right. A little jasmine, you can...
A little more mint in this one, too.
That's right.
A little bit of peppermint. Again, the floral essence is really pronounced in this now.
And you also... And some of the fruit notes come out stronger, too. But here, also, the vanilla will peek through more.
Right. I noticed that, and then the finish tends... But it does dampen the finish down just a little bit, I noticed.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, the finish... What this does is that it allows your taste buds to recuperate quicker. And so the finish is gonna, it's not going to hang around as long.
So you can drink more of it.
We hope. Yeah, that's the plan. No, this is... We think that these single malt whiskeys, and single malt whiskeys generally throughout the world, are really things that... That really contribute to the enjoyment of life. I mean, it's a given. It really is.
You can't say it any better than that. And on this note, that's all for this edition of Whiskey Cast. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.